Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Last week we began our Lent series, Journeying with Jesus. And we looked last week at Jesus in the wilderness, on his own, battling against temptation. This week we see Jesus in the middle of a bustling crowd, everyone pressed in close to hear Jesus, touch him, and be healed by him. So let me read from Luke chapter 8, verses 56. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus said. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone about what had happened. So in our passage for this morning, Jesus and his disciples step off a boat to be greeted by a huge crowd of people waiting for them. People coming to Jesus with their needs and their distresses. People coming because they'd heard the rumours about him and wanted to see and hear him in people. People coming because they were sceptical and wanted to prove that this was all a fake. So many people coming to see Jesus for different reasons. Can you picture the scene? Imagine you are there. You can feel the heat of the midday sun beating down on you. You also have the heat and press of the crowd around you, everyone rubbing shoulders or bumping into each other as people try to get closer and closer to Jesus. The crowd is so dense it's almost suffocating. The noise of the crowd is so loud that you can only just hear Jesus' teaching. You wish some of the people around you would be quiet. Suddenly, Jesus stops, and you bump into the person in front of you as the whole crowd comes to a stop too. You peer around to see what is going on and see a man kneeling at Jesus' feet, begging for help. He looks sort of familiar, and then he lifts his head and you recognise him. It's Jairus, the synagogue leader. Why is Jairus coming to Jesus? You can hear murmurs in the crowd as others recognise him too and wonder why he is there. After all, the Pharisees have declared that Jesus is a fraud and should be avoided. And yet Jairus is here asking for help for his daughter who is at death's door. You see Jesus reach out a hand and pull Jairus to his feet. Jesus says something to Jairus, but you can't make out what he said. But clearly, whatever he said was what Jairus needed to hear. The relief on Jairus' face is almost painful to look at. Let's step back outside the scene for a moment. Jairus was a well-respected man, a synagogue leader, probably with a fair amount of wealth, as for many, wealth was a sign of God's blessing. He would have had status and power, but his status and power was subject to the favour of the other religious leaders. A synagogue leader was elected to their post by the elders of the synagogue, and these elders would have been precisely those people who were opposing Jairus. Therefore, for Jairus to prostrate himself before Jesus would have been career and social suicide. The elders would certainly have heard about it if they didn't witness it themselves, and they would be furious. I'm sure Jairus knew that by doing this he would be jeopardizing his position as synagogue leader. But Jairus was willing to risk the cost to his reputation, to his career, because he wanted to save his daughter, and he believed that Jesus could do it. So he threw himself at Jesus' feet, pleading on behalf of his daughter. When life is hard and we are desperate for help, let us remember to follow Jairus' example and turn to Jesus, regardless of the cost to our reputation, to our power or pride. Jesus is there, ready to lift you back to your feet and whisper to you the words that you need to hear. I know in my own experience, in the darkest moments of my life, when everything has felt out of control, being able to turn to Jesus has kept me stable and able to keep going on. I pray that you also know the amazing comfort that Jesus' presence gives us as we go through the ups and downs of life. Let's return to the story to find Jesus following Jairus to his house. And of course, the crowd follows after him. And so, yes, you are following as well. The crush of the crowd means that progress is slow. And as you watch, you see Jairus getting more and more frustrated and agitated by this. Your heart goes out to him as you see him send another pleading look to Jesus to somehow speed up the pace. But instead of walking faster, Jesus suddenly stops again. And once again, you bump into the person in front of you and you feel the person behind bump into you as the momentum of the crowd suddenly comes to a halt. Why on earth has Jesus stopped this time? Jesus looks around and asks loudly so everyone can hear him, "Who touched me?" You are indignant. What does he mean? The crowd is pressing around you so tightly it's almost hard to breathe. Peter speaks up saying what everyone here is thinking. "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus is insistent. "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." And then he turns to look at this one woman in the crowd. As Jesus' gaze falls on her, she begins to tremble. And then with a look of terror on her face, she too throws herself at Jesus' feet. With a halting, fearful voice, she explains that she has suffered for 12 years with bleeding and nothing has helped. She has gone to countless doctors and spent all her money, and still there has been no cure. But, she continues, when she reached out to Jesus and just touched the edge of Jesus' cloak, she was healed, completely and instantly. So here we have another person that risked everything to reach out to Jesus. Unlike Jairus, the anonymous woman had no status, no power, no money, no body. Her illness affected every aspect of her life. From her family life, she wouldn't have been able to have children. She wouldn't have been able to have a relationship with anyone. To her daily life, everything that she touched would be unclean. even if her clothing brushed against something, that thing would become unclean and would need to be cleansed. She would not have a social life. She would have been ostracized, abandoned by friends and family, not able to mix with anyone. She certainly was not supposed to be in a crowd of people who would press against her. Because she was unclean, she couldn't participate in most aspects of spiritual life either. She couldn't enter the temple and worship God. She couldn't do the rituals and the sacrifices that were required. And of course, physically, she would have been anemic, pale, weak, fatigued. It's not like there were iron and vitamin tablets that she could take to supplement her lost. This woman's life had been destroyed by this uncontrollable bleeding. But in one single touch of Jesus, her life had been completely transformed. Jesus, knowing what had happened, stopped and asked, "Who touched me?" But why? Why did Jesus do this? Because he honestly didn't know what had happened? I find that unlikely. Then maybe he did it to humiliate the woman. Well, no, of course not. So then why did Jesus stop everyone and ask the woman to publicly identify herself and explain what had happened to her? I think there were a number of reasons that Jesus might have done this. Firstly, Jesus wanted the woman to have a personal encounter with him. When she reached out to touch him, she was healed, and I suspect she intended to slip away unnoticed. And this means that her interaction with Jesus was purely transactional. She touched his clothing, was healed, and then left. But Jesus wants people to have more than a transactional relationship with him. He wants people to have a personal encounter, to know that they are known and loved deeply by the God that created them. And so he calls out the woman, and when the woman admits what happened, Jesus speaks to her, calling her daughter. This was a woman who had been ostracized by society and very likely rejected by her own family. And yet Jesus refers to her as family, calling her daughter. I can only imagine that this would have been a wonderful balm to a painful wound in her spirit. Jesus wanted her to know that she was a daughter, a child of God. Jesus draws her out of her isolation and away from the transactional relationship into a personal encounter with the living God. Suddenly, she is no longer the reject and outcast. She is welcomed as a daughter in God's kingdom. Secondly, I think that Jesus would have wanted to make sure that the woman had faith in him rather than faith in his clothing. We have a tendency to focus on objects and attribute power to them. How many people put faith in lucky charms or crystals or something like that? Or think of the superstitions of many athletes who have lucky underwear or something. If they win a game, it's because they were wearing their lucky charm. This is not a new phenomenon. We see in the Bible that humans have a tendency to ascribe objects with power. In the Exodus, the Israelites made a golden calf and worshipped it because they believed it was a god. So Jesus calling out the woman had the secondary purpose of drawing her attention away from the power of his robes to the power of Jesus himself. He helped her put her awe and wonder in the right thing and not in man-made objects. Thirdly, Jesus made her publicly announce her healings because she needed it to be known publicly. If she had been suffering with this for 12 years, she would have been known to people as unclean. Therefore, she needed to be publicly acknowledged as clean and healed so that she could rejoin social, religious, and cultural life. She had been an outcast for so long that people needed to be made aware that she no longer had to stay isolated. Fourthly, I think this public miracle was also for Jairus' benefit as well. Jairus was anxious to get Jesus to his daughter so that she may be saved from dying. And it is possible that the interruption delayed Jesus enough, causing the daughter to die. But I suspect they probably wouldn't have made it there on time anyway. We are told, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." This suggests that she was already dead before Jesus was interrupted by the woman with the bleeding. And this is backed up by the fact that when Jesus reached the daughter, they already had professional mourners weeping and wailing for the dead daughter. Therefore, I think Jairus needed to see Jesus perform a miracle to give him encouragement that Jesus was a miracle worker with great power. Jairus had probably heard of Jesus, and in his desperation gone to him without necessarily knowing if the rumours were true. Therefore, being able to see Jesus perform a miracle would have strengthened Jairus' resolve so that when Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed," Jairus could have faith and trust in Jesus. In these two stories of Jesus' compassion and his power, we see Jesus restoring a woman to normal life, bringing a young girl to life again, and encouraging the faith of a desperate father. I love that these stories happen while we see Jesus in the middle of a crowd, with everyone pressing in on him and demanding his attention. I see in this an invitation from Jesus to reach out to him, even through the crowd. There might be a crowd standing between you and Jesus. Perhaps friends, family, society, even other believers are trying to prevent you from accessing God. Or you might not want to come to Jesus because you feel your need is too small and unimportant. But Jesus calls out to us, inviting us to touch him, to draw close to him and be restored by him. Nothing is too big or too small to be beyond his care and notice. He wants you to reach out through the crowd and touch him. Also, seeing these stories happening to Jesus among the crowds reminds me that we are to keep trusting Jesus even through disaster. Jairus turned to Jesus for help, and it seemed like Jesus might never get there because the crowd was hindering the progress towards his house. Yet Jesus spoke to Jairus saying, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Is there something that you are asking God for and it feels like it will never happen, or that is taking too long? Hear Jesus' words to you. Don't be afraid, just believe. Trust in God's timing. Trust in God's outcomes. Don't be afraid. Just believe.